Last week, Kyle quit the band. Now we're back together.
Hello and welcome to the Noisecast, weekly podcast about technology news, gadgets, gizmos, what have you. Also, WTF news, the things everyone likes. We have a special guest tonight. He's not so much special guest, or is he?
He's a little bit special.
He's a little bit special. Anyway, we have Agrippa.
Hey, what's up?
Ben.
Yo.
And Ray.
I'm not very special at all.
I think Vito's here. He unmuted.
I unmuted?
I didn't hear Ben say hi. The hell?
Where have you been?
God. Okay, yeah, Vito's. Anyway, this is the Noisecast. Like I said, we're a weekly podcast. We do a live stream during the recording of this where you can come chat, listen to us live, and correct us. As opposed to yelling at your computer later when we're wrong, you can correct us in real time. We will surely ignore you. However, if you want to come listen, it's thenoisecast.com/live. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook and on Twitter or Google+. Just search for The Noisecast. We're there on all three. We post articles and updates on the podcast there as well. Thanks, Vito. Popped up, threw me off my groove here. So we're gonna move on with the topic of topic list, episode 63. Damn it, you totally screwed me up, man. Vito pooped there. Now everyone knows. Episode 63. Vito pooped. Oh God, you remember that that crappy little school in. It was a community college or a city college in California that got hacked, and they spent
there for 12 years or something.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know if you've heard of a company called Nortel.
Yep.
They have been hacked for about 10 years. Apparently, roughly 10
surely
years.
This was by design, and they knew about it, right?
Yeah, it's not looking like it. God. It's got Nortel has had people in their system for 10 years pulling their technical papers, research and development reports, business plans, employee emails, and other documents. Just kind of willy.
The text for this.
Yeah.
Well, see, their IT guy said he was going to get to it a while ago.
And he had to play Halo.
10 years, though. I mean,
he's been out
what
sick
could
for a
possibly,
little while.
Well, I mean, I guess maybe that's why they're kind of out of business now.
Are they out of business?
Well, I mean, they're meaningless at this point. You know, like, they're not... when you say the name, there was a time anyone recognized the name, and now it's just like, you know, what do they even do? What business are they still in?
Well, yeah, I gotta admit, I recognize the name, but I have no idea what they actually do.
They're a telecommunications company, but they're...
Yeah.
They're covered in Canada.
Oh, here we go. Company announced it would cease operations and sell off all of its business units. That's right, because there was the auction for all their assets. You know, Microsoft, Apple, all these companies were bidding for them.
Man, I really wonder what would have happened if, you know, maybe they had been hacked for 10 years. Because they had a lot of top-level stuff, like a lot of, like, obviously, R&D stuff, technical papers, things that should not have been passed out. They weren't a horrible company in terms of technology.
One can say exactly the same thing about RIM. They seem to be in exactly the same sort of boat where, you know, they had their heyday and then...
There's a difference...
Back for 10 years.
True.
Yeah, and even if they were, who the hell was going to steal the torch design?
The same phone for 5 years.
Yeah. Oh, I think we can steal their stuff without even hacking their network. And you know what? That's probably a bad idea. Let's just get our own shit.
Wow. Yeah, this is... I mean, looking at their history on Wikipedia, it is... I mean, yeah, they have interesting things going on here, but it looks like they had a heyday... a long time ago, and it's been kind of just a slow downhill since then. But, you know,
they
with
were
that
like
kind
the
of
bee's
basic,
knees
basically,
in the late
if you're a tech company and you,
when it came to telecommunications.
You know, you let something like that happen, and I understand, you know, sometimes you can't help it, you get hacked, but I mean, 10 years, you don't discover it, you don't have a team that is, you know, you're working with all this really sensitive stuff, and you don't have that kind of, you know, bandwidth to do anything about it. You really don't deserve
well,
the success
okay.
you have.
It says, good riddance. In 2000, they say the initial breach occurred possibly as far back as the year 2000. Nortel didn't discover the threat till 2004, when an employee noticed that a senior executive appeared to be downloading an unusual set of documents. and asked about it, the executive said he didn't know anything about it. So I guess they did some cyber...
So it's still over 6 years after that.
Digital forensics. Happened. Yeah.
Well, I kind of understand because they're a small
what
company.
What else I notice... real quick here is that again not to you know to associate it with RIM too, but it also seems to have a slight leadership issue because like on Wikipedia it says a Nortel ex-CEO files as a creditor seeking $1 billion from the proceeds of bankruptcy. I mean if even your own leadership is picking your bones, I really don't see how, you know, while it was, you know,
well,
in the swing of
okay, why wouldn't you try to pick the bones, though?
Properly address things like that.
Anyway, I think it'd be interesting to know what would be happening with them had they not had their head up their digital forensics asset. So, yeah, that's just kind of stupid, man. It's funny, because I saw the post on Google Plus from one of the digital forensics guys I follow. And he said, this is the longest running hack I've ever seen. And then I promptly posted the link from that whatever city college, which is kind of like a community college, but couldn't make it. That was hacked for 12 years somewhere in Bay Area.
Jesus.
Yeah.
That was pretty bad.
I mean, of course, I think they had 3 computers at the school, so it didn't really matter, but come on. Anyway, because we're not real big on pop news, we're more big on douche news, and possibly douche canoes.
Ooh, a douche canoe.
Douche canoe. You're a douche canoe, sir.
You want to go for a rod in my douche canoe?
We're going to stop right there and move on with the topic. Sony, always popular with the douche canoe crowd, decided that 1 hour was about long enough to wait until they raised the... prices on Whitney Houston stuff across the board. So, which I mean, true fans already had her music, right?
Look,
you think that, but whenever someone famous like that dies, somehow their music always skyrockets.
Acquisition.
On
this is
pause.
Excellent.
Can you guys hear each other? That you're
yeah,
talking over each other.
The same thing. Do Gonzo and Agrippa not hear each other? Or do they just not give a shit that the other one's talking?
Oh, I haven't heard Gonzo, like, since we started.
Oh. Because every time you're talking for a long period of time, he seems to be talking as well. and I know Gonzo will just talk over someone.
At all.
Oh.
I see his thing lighting up, saying that maybe he's saying something, but...
That is weird.
Well, I can hear you. I just
chose to talk
over
you.
He just talks over. Oh, God. Anyway, how about... Gonzo with the angry point first, and then we'll go to Agrippa.
Well, I mean, it's just like whenever, like when Michael Jackson died, all of his albums and songs like were the top 10 on fucking iTunes and shit. And did like no one ever buy this stuff before? Because he didn't make any new stuff before he died.
There's a difference between being in the top 10 and having the prices raised. Because, I mean, it's scavenging when you raise the prices. It's just... benefiting because you were already there. If you own the rights to his music and he dies and it goes up, hey, you didn't kill him, but you know.
But whatever. See, they knew there would be that run on
all
of her music, and so that's why they jacked up the price. And fucking, I hate any time a celebrity dies. But not that I give a shit, because I didn't care about Whitney Houston, quite honestly. But all of a sudden, all these dick writers come out of the woodwork, like, oh my god, Whitney, we loved you. And, like, nobody, they didn't give a shit yesterday. But then she died, and suddenly they...
When's the last time you've heard Whitney Houston's name before she died? I can't think of the year...
cocaine.
In a positive light?
Ever. I haven't heard it. And I don't listen to... Anyway.
I heard it 2 weeks before because I saw Behind the Music with Bobby Brown on VH1.
Oh, cheater. Anyway, let's move on to what Agrippa said before. It looks like I'm ignoring our only black guy.
What? Nah, I was just saying, I mean, it's just... It's a basic dick move on Sony's part. It's, you know, it's good business in the sense that people are still going to buy it. You know, they're just going to be pissed off as they buy it.
Well,
and
there was that.
They're going to be like, you shouldn't have done that. And then, meanwhile, later on, we're going to be clapping our hands when their stock goes up because they had record profits.
Yeah, I'd be calling that capitalism at work. I mean, they know the people are going to buy it. Why not profit from it?
Yep.
Well, there was that episode of The Simpsons when Bleeding Gums Murphy died, and so Lisa was trying to buy his album. And comic guy's like, oh, wait, he died, and he suddenly doubles the price.
Yeah.
Simpsons did it.
Well, I guess we can't cover it. The Simpsons did it.
Simpsons did everything.
Yeah. Well, shit. They're coming up on number 500, aren't they? Is that this week? Is that today?
I don't know. I mean, I haven't watched
like that. Yeah, I know I saw something about it.
I haven't watched a new episode of Simpsons in a long time. 7 years.
Wow. 500. Holy. I haven't watched it, honestly, in a long, long time. But.
That's because they've done everything and they can't do anything new.
Well, it's still more entertaining than most of the stuff on TV.
I'm not disputing that.
So. I just don't watch much TV. I'd rather play a game. Anyway, are we all done ranting about Whitney Houston and her? Besides, if you thought you were a big fan and you had to go buy some albums when she died, first of all, you're not benefiting her, so there's no point in buying it because she's dead. So she's not going
to use that money before she died to get some coke.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, that's not very nice.
Well, she's dead. Whatever.
All right, let's have a little bit of tact.
Yeah, tact right. On this show? Are you joking?
Yeah.
No, you know what was actually kind of funny? Maybe it's not funny. Maybe I'm just an asshole. I was at the Yeah, well, I am. But I was at the supermarket a few days after she died, and I'd seen like the week before's National Enquirer or something was still on the shelf, and it's like Whitney Houston, new photos, all time low, and it's like, yeah, she's dead now.
Oh.
You should have said that to the cashier. Or were you at the self-checkout?
I don't remember.
Yeah, as Vector Parcel just said, brumch. Anyway, let's move on to the next topic that's not annoying. How about this? I know we talked about this before. Google and their self-driving cars. They did a lot of testing in Nevada, probably because, A, there's only one thing to run into in Nevada that anyone cares about, and that's Las Vegas. And the rest of the place is more or less straight and flat in terms of roads. I don't know if Vito spent any real time driving around the deserts out there when he was out there.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of nothing out there.
Yeah.
It's, even with Vegas, there's a whole lot of nothing. You come up over a hill, and then boom, there it is.
Yeah, and then you go up over another hill, and there's no sign that there was anything. Well, take it back. There's Terrible's Casino, which is like a mini Vegas for people who don't have money. You know what I'm talking about? It's on the way back to L.A. It's like the most depressing casino area I've ever been in. I only stopped to get gas for Burger King there.
Yep.
You honestly haven't been to some Indian casinos.
Oh, I have, but I'm... Okay,
those are pretty depressing.
Yeah, I've been on a couple riverboat casinos. I know what you mean. Especially when you hang around the penny slots for too long.
Or the dollar video poker? Oh, yeah.
No, anything penny is depressing.
I was attacked by a meth addict one time at a video poker machine.
Wow. Good casino security. Anyway, moving on with the actual story. Google was doing a lot of the testing for their self-driving cars. A while ago, was it like 9 months ago, a year ago? Out in Nevada. And there was rumors that Google was pushing for regulations in Nevada to allow self-driving cars so Google could do true concept tests of these vehicles. out there without having anyone in the car at all. Obviously, that's not legal. Right now, self-driving cars, pretty much, there's a driver who sits in the driving seat and doesn't do anything. They're just there legally. Like, there has to be someone there.
Or in case the car breaks.
Well, that's the theory of them being there, but they won't do anything. Like, they are there to control the car. They are not there to control the car. They're there because the cops will throw a hissy fit if no one's driving the car.
Yeah, but they're also driving in Priuses, and aren't those notorious for just speeding up and crashing into things for no reason?
Not for like 2 years. And it wasn't even Priuses that did that. It was like the higher end Lexuses. And that was all bullcrap.
Whatever.
No, it was a Prius.
Sure it was a Prius. It was a Toyota thing.
The first car that did it was a Lexus, or not the first car, the big one that did it was a Lexus, because a cop and his family were in a rental Lexus. They were in a rental Lexus.
I'm gonna say it's true, so fuck you.
Yeah, okay, you ginger giant. Shut up and go eat a beanstalk or something.
I remember Steve Wozniak talking about it because he was driving a Prius, and he said that he was able to do it repeatedly.
Yeah.
That's how he knew it was a software issue.
Yeah. No, but it wasn't just Priuses. They were affected. Anyway, moving beyond the fact that Priuses are plastic junk.
They look like ovule inserts.
Wow. By the way, if you ever go sit in a Prius, you'll know why I never will like them. It feels like you're sitting in a crappy lawn chair.
You ever driven a Prius? They're
yes.
Weird.
Yes, I have. It's stupid, and you have to put on the power mode if you ever want to get out of your own way. Which kind of negates the point of saving gas. Anyway, moving on. Nevada has passed a regulation that allows for driverless cars on state roads. So, pretty much, autonomous vehicles are now legal in Nevada. It doesn't require a driver anywhere in the vehicle. You can get a true test of how much you trust your software when you're headed out there. That's pretty cool. Also, like I said, there's not a... You know what? That would be actually really good for the Vegas taxi system. You get a bunch of little electric, you know, go-karts in Vegas, and you just punch in your destination, and it meanders its way through traffic and gets you where you're going. The cab companies don't have to pay a driver. It's all computer-based.
And you don't have to tip the car either.
Only problem with that being is that if I'm drunk and in a car that's driving itself, I'm going to be freaking the fuck out.
Well, yeah. Whatever, it's Vegas. In Vegas, you tend not to freak out when you see weird stuff.
I mean, can you just be imagine like being super drunk in your car and then you realize that there's nobody driving?
Have you ever been to Vegas?
No.
Vegas is one of those, yeah, probably good idea, but Vegas is one of those places where weird stuff is just kind of like, yeah, that'll happen.
Yeah, man, haven't you ever watched Chris Angel?
Okay.
Fuck you!
Get off the podcast, Ben.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway. I think Grippa left. Oh, he's back.
Hey. I've never taken a cab in Vegas.
No, I walked everywhere.
We walked pretty much everywhere, yeah.
Yeah.
My wife fucking hated it, but that's what happened.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the reason I hated walking in Vegas is because you got those guys that stick the cards in front of you. Flick, flick, oh, flick, no, flick, dude, flick.
I told you, I collected those things. Bitches like Pokemon.
It's just annoying, though. Because, I mean, they're very careful not to touch you, but they're like an inch away from you and flicking this business card for a brothel in your face. Or reaching across your wife to flick it in your face. It's like, come on, really? And none of them are legal immigrants. And these cards litter the ground. And this is like the worst, most annoying thing I've ever seen. Anyway.
Litter the ground or weave them into the fences, stick them in the bus stops.
Yeah. Anyway, continuing with the story. Cars must be equipped with separate data collectors, similar to black boxes, that will capture and store the autonomous technology sensor data for at least 30 seconds. Before any collision. So it's a continuous loop, more or less. And if it detects a crash, then it saves, moves from the RAM to the ROM, the last 30 seconds of sensory data. But apparently it's more than just testing. It sets a pretty good groundwork to allowing driverless cars out on the highways in general. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Idea.
It's I would still freak the fuck out probably the first time I rode in a driverless car, but it seems
I hate to break this to anyone. It says the vehicles will not be a substitute for a designated driver, says the governor.
Well, shit. What's the point?
Yeah,
then?
Yeah, really. Yeah, there's no exemption for drinking and driving, he says. What the hell? Like,
but you're not driving anymore. You're passengering.
It's like a GPS, except you know, it actually goes as opposed to just telling you the route.
Maybe they think in your drunken stupor you might type in, like, the lake, and it'll drive you into the lake.
Okay, well, that's A, stupid, and B, that's still your fault. I think the biggest problem they're concerned is that these cars probably still have a workable steering wheel and gas pedal, similar to, what was it, iRobot, where they're driving the little Audis with giant testicles for wheels, where you could drive yourself, or Demolition Man, where you could drive yourself or be self-driven.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some kind of manual override, like in case.
Okay, so that makes sense, because someone in the car has to be responsible for the car in the case of drunk driving. But if you use it as like a drunken taxi service, there's got to be a way to, if the car starts acting funny, it just stops, pulls over to the side of the road and stops. So, you know, you can still do the drunken driving thing, but I don't think personal vehicles would work.
Well, I imagine maybe there could be some kind of attendant in there, just like reading a magazine, whatever, just in case
anything goes
wrong. Wouldn't
that defeat the purpose of not having to pay a driver?
Yeah.
Well, but then he's not really driving. He's just kind of, I don't know, whatever.
Okay, well, so what if you paid like a bum to sit in the front seat of your car and do bum things?
Would you trust a bum to drive in case of an emergency?
No, but he doesn't have to drive. Like, it could be, hey, you have a driver's license, don't ever touch the steering wheel, but you're there in case.
I think you really shouldn't be thinking of this as the, you know, the solution. Really, this is just one step in the way. For now, it's just building the technology. Just think about all the data they'll be collecting.
Yeah.
Now, from all these little things as we go on for years, and another maybe 15 years or so, they have enough, enough data to actually create something fully and truly autonomous.
But my biggest concern is
one big Excel experiment.
The regulation is for self-driving cars. Later on in the article, actually mentions driverless vehicles. It says, if a vehicle is certified as being capable of driven in autonomous mode without a driver, a person can operate a vehicle without being physically present. How is that not a viable substitution for drinking and driving? Is it? I mean, do you have to physically
satellite remote control? Do they control it from like a central point?
But there's no way, because you think about it. When you're driving a racing game, unless you have a giant surround monitor setup, you're not going to see anything. You know what I mean? You're only going to see directly ahead, and this is going to be streaming over the web, so it's going to be delayed by at least 20 milliseconds, which is no way to avoid a crash. So I don't see why
they finally perfected that technology from Ender's Game. No, never mind. Fuck you guys.
You can get that out of here.
Don't worry, I got it. It just
apparently Agrippa's the only literate one around here.
I've read it, and I don't remember what self-driving stuff you're talking about. All I remember is the enemy's gate is down.
No, I meant like the input lag kind of thing. Never fucking mind.
Oh. Okay, well, since Ben's having his little shit fit with how stupid he is, let's move on to the next topic. Tesla Motors, the electric car company that is named after the crazy, wacky-haired scientist.
Brilliant, wacky-haired.
Yeah? And?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, their next vehicle down the line, besides the famous Lowell Oil car. I'm sure you've seen pictures of that. Electric vehicle with a license plate that says Lowell Oil. The next vehicle will be an SUV that will outrun a Porsche 911 up to 60 miles an hour, which is kind of pointless because Porsches aren't known for doing the speed limit. It will carry 7 passengers and handle well in both rain and snow. And it will also get a dual electric motor all-wheel drive. So, what this means to you is that it will cost a shit ton, It looks like crap. You can carry your friends in it, which is cool because you can tell them all about how you're saving the Earth while you're driving around. And you can go really fast up to 60, but up past that, you're not really sure. Oh, and it'll cost you about $75,000.
You know, it's ugly, but it's not quite Pontiac Aztec ugly.
Okay, it's almost as ugly as the Porsche, was it the Panamera? Their new little station wagon turd that they pooped out?
It's about on par with that.
Yeah.
Except this has gullwing doors for some reason.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, why the hell not?
Like, the back doors are gullwings, and the front are regular.
And the article touts it like it's some kind of new development. Like, these fucking things have been around since the 80s. It's not that big of a deal.
Nah, before that, when the 300 SL come out?
I don't know. Oh, but no, sorry. These aren't gullwing doors. These are falcon doors.
The 300 SL came out in the 50s, so they've been around since the 50s.
Yeah. It's not a big... Anyway, I'm not sure
for the advancement of electric cars, though. Like,
yeah, I agree.
This is just another step in the right direction, hopefully, like, you know, towards mass production and adoption, and, you know, they get better and better. So I'm not going to buy it.
Okay, my thing is, this looks a lot like a Mazda SUV mixed with the Porsche Panamera, which is too not really... Okay, the Panamera is ugly as hell. The Mazda SUVs aren't known... You know, they look like a middle-grade imported vehicle. It's just not a compliment. This looks boring. It doesn't look interesting, which, when you're driving something that's supposed to be special, you want it to look a little better. As Mud Monster puts it, I didn't know anyone could make a vehicle look like a fat beached whale, so...
Dude, look at the new Prius. It's like the supersized model. It's pretty ugly.
They're all ugly. Priuses are stupid. The only thing that's good is that they get good gas mileage if you don't need to accelerate.
Or really do anything with them. My friend got in a ditch, and it was pretty hard to get out.
Well, yeah, because it's all plastic. You probably could have just, you know, filled it with helium and let it float away.
Well, we could have, except it got frozen to the ground because she left it there for like two or three days.
Oh, well, that's just your friend being stupid. The Priuses do have a lot of storage space. If you fold down the back seat, there's a surprising amount of room in there. My mother-in-law owns one, and she brought down a bunch of stuff for Chloe one time. Like, old stuff of my wife's. And you can fit a lot of stuff in there. But it's still... I don't like them. Silly.
I drive a Prius, and I love it.
Well, you like it because you don't have to pay for gas, or do you like it because it's fun?
Both, actually. It gets... One, it's not a sports car, obviously. But I get a lot of good speed for gas mileage. It's a very comfortable car. It's got a lot of space inside.
Okay, comfortable.
It's surprisingly spacious.
Yeah, it's spacious.
You know, small profile. And like you said, yeah, it has a lot of storage space. And so it's very, from a utility standpoint, I imagine I love the Prius for a very similar utilitarian reason that your average farmer loves a pickup truck. It's not about looking good in it.
Okay. I get that.
I don't know. You can look pretty good in a pickup truck.
Well, it's... They like it because they use it. I know what you're saying. They like the truck because they use it all the time. They're throwing hay bales, you know, other farmers' daughters, whatever, in the back.
That's the best thing about a pickup truck. You got an 8-foot bed that never has to be made.
Forget who we're talking to here. And then,
Integer Jobs.
Integer Jobs! Damn it, you threw me off.
That is, for me, like, I've never gone into the Prius and been like, oh yeah, I know you see my Prius. You know, it's just like... Yeah.
Well, it works for you. It's a relatively comfortable vehicle. That's my thing is, I drove from Nashville to Huntsville, and that's about a 2-hour drive, and I hated it. My ass was asleep half the time. The seat was uncomfortable. The entire dash is plastic. And it's... whatever.
Now, the last time, the time that made me fall in love with the Prius was when I had to drive it from Houston up to Dallas, then the very next day down to Austin, then San Antonio, then back to Austin. And then the very next day...
Are you running drugs in a Prius?
Back to Houston. It was like all that driving, and I was just chill.
Are you seriously running drugs in a Prius? I can't imagine making that drive. I take the back. I've done something similar to that in a Jeep Cherokee, and it cost me about $100. And that was in 2003.
Yeah, I think I might have filled my tank
before you left
once, and then topped it off a second time.
That's the only reason. But I personally am not comfortable.
You know, the trip from Houston to Dallas is about, what, 4.5 hours?
What?
Dallas to San Antonio is also about 4.5 hours. You know, that's, it's just, yeah. So it's not like I was driving cross country, but that was a lot of driving, and that car was good to me.
Well, you're driving across Texas, which is more or less cross country. God, this state's ridiculous. So, moving back to the Tesla, however, they're trying to make a more normal vehicle than the previous entries, which were, what, the two-door, two-seater?
The first one was the Roadster, I think, and then I forgot what the second one was called. And yeah, the first one was a sports car, and the second one was more like a coupe or coupe.
I don't think the coupe ever actually took off. I don't know if I've ever seen
it. They're still just kind of cost prohibitive for what they are, and you can't buy one anywhere except for California.
Look at any new technology. I mean, 3D technology when it first came out was ridiculous. There you go, Model S, as Mud Monsters just said in the chat. Okay, that looks like a mix between a Jaguar and a Beamer to me. But I'm getting confused again. The intro price to any technology is always high. HDTV, ridiculous when it first came out. 3D TV, ridiculous, and it was crap when it first came out. You know, anything is high. Cell phones. I don't know if anyone remembers, cell phones used to pay like $150 a month for like 60 minutes. And the phone was expensive as hell too. So it's, everything is, and this is just scaled up. This isn't a consumer device, this is a car. So this is something that you're going to, you know, theoretically spend X percentage more than you would on a normal entry-level consumer device. Like, phones will cost less than TVs, yet. Yeah, so when a new TV technology is introduced, you're going to spend more on that. So, yeah, they're expensive. They're getting the kinks worked out of an all-electric vehicle that's still fun to drive and fast and yet still has a decent battery capacity.
But. Yeah, I mean, like, that's why I said earlier, I look forward to any advancements. Like, I'm just glad Tesla keeps making new cars, even if they are ugly or whatever.
Okay. Because... yeah. I'm the S isn't ugly. I actually like
the S. No, the S is fine. The S and the Roadster, I like. This one, not so much. But I just want them to keep making cars until eventually we'll get to that point where it's not going to be so cost prohibitive to actually buy one. You might actually, a regular person might actually consider buying a Tesla or just electric vehicle.
Battery technology as opposed to anything else.
Yeah, but they're still trying to get people to put money into the whole idea. Because, think about it, if they get enough people buying these, then GM and Ford and all the other, you know, international companies are going to take notice, and they're going to throw a little bit more money into battery research. And that's going to benefit everyone. Because greater adaptation brings more money into the field. Is Vito playing something? I haven't heard him in about 10 minutes.
I am not playing anything, but we've all heard my feelings on electric cars multiple times now. Fuck electric cars.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if Vito... I bet Vito believes this, too. If you can't feel it when you're accelerating, like if it doesn't rumble a little bit, then it's stupid.
Look, if I hit the gas and lean forward in anticipation of torque that never happens,
No. You in this isn't a weak card. They will definitely use the advantage that Tesla, electric motors have.
Tesla will be able to make something just straight up nasty, but
Tesla we're talking about.
Yeah, I understand that. That's why I mentioned Tesla. I'm not just fucking pulling the name out of my ass.
Oh, Tesla, so you were listening any time in the past 10 minutes. I'm proud of you, Vito.
I'm listening. I just don't give a shit. The ones that aren't ridiculously expensive are slow, boring, and uncomfortable as fuck.
You're over-modulating your microphone.
The ones that I actually want to drive are just ridiculously expensive. Who gives a shit?
Vito? Vito, yeah. you're over-modulating your microphone.
No, I don't care. You don't want me to over-modulate? Don't fucking intentionally get me riled up.
Well, I just asked if you were alive or if you had to go take another shit. Let's move on, since we've spent a ridiculous amount of time on these few topics. Physicists have created a working transistor from a single atom. Australian and American physicists have built a working transistor from a single phosphorus atom embedded in a silicone crystal, which sounds like the beginning to a Superman plot. Yeah. Anyone want to explain this? I just think it's kind of cool. Who put this in here?
I put it on there. It's another one of those things that's kind of above my head, but it seems really...
Oh, so you read the title and didn't actually...
No, I actually stopped halfway through the title. I was like, I did something.
Physicists create, copy paste, we're good. I don't know if... Let's have a brief rundown here. And pulling this straight out of the article. Transistors do ones and zeros in processors. Chips are made up of tons and millions and billions and trillions and large numbers of them. So obviously the smaller you can make them, the more you can fit on a single chip, and minus the heat production, you get better speeds. Moore's law equates into this. If you don't know Moore's law, look it up. You're a bad geek. So having a single switch that fits on an atom is amazing in terms of future of computing.
Processors, yeah. I mean, essentially, the race to smaller processors is essentially a race to smaller transistors, or rather, a race to fitting more transistors per area.
And well, they are hand in hand.
We're also kind of hitting the wall here. I mean, like, unless we fundamentally change the nature of physics, like, this is, we're at the end of the rope.
Yeah, okay, like, now we are officially, normal,
it's like, okay, yeah, shit.
Now we're officially the end of the road in terms of regular computing.
Yeah.
So it, now quantum computing
would have to fundamentally change.
Now then we get into
processors smaller than, you know, like we're reaching pretty much the last stretch for the current architecture, the current style. I don't know what to term it.
Well, the sad thing about the whole thing, Intel has already put Atom processors in your netbooks, so you can't expect a lot of power out of this.
True. I'm gonna freely admit, you know, I am excited for what's coming up next. It's usually at this time, you know, so far all the R&D dollars have been going toward making it smaller, making it faster, and no real R&D has been going toward actually changing the methodology. No one has bothered trying to imagine. I mean, when computers started, they were largely mechanical devices. It was more mechanical than electronic, and a few people were able to kind of mentally make that logical leap toward electronic. And now, but we've been stuck on this electronic thing, and I'm not saying there's anything outside of that, but we've been stuck on this track of just smaller, faster, with no one stopping to think, wait, is there a different way to do this? You know, what happened to the old days of sci-fi when we dreamt about, you know, computers powered by crystals, you know, and all these like crazy, it's like, so I'm excited that we're finally getting to
the end of the road.
Materials are starting starting to look for alternative silicone. We're starting to get down to that, you know, atomic scale. We're starting to whatever, because as we get to the end of that road of what current physics and current capabilities reaches, now you're going to start finding more people thinking, well, you know, our data doesn't stop increasing. Our needs don't stop increasing. We already see people starting to focus more on energy, which I always felt was more important than the processing power and the size. And that was the fact that we can't run these amazing things for as long as we possibly could. So you already see people going to that research, and that's going to be fun. But I am really looking forward to the next, say, 15 years or so. You know, just where computing goes, how much more we develop, and what new goodies we come up with.
You're saying
the last decade is any indication, the next decade is going to be fun.
I
and expensive.
I think it's time we finally realize that there, like you said, there, we've been going down a hallway in terms of computing. It's the end of the hallway is smaller, better, faster. We're almost at the end, and maybe it's time we backtrack and look for some doors off that hallway that could help us.
Yep. I'm all for it.
Yeah. And seriously, you can't get any smaller than an atom. So once we get to where that's normal, hopefully we're well on our way. It hopefully won't take until we're stagnant there for a while, but hopefully we're well on our way to the next level of computing.
Yeah. You know, one thing I've noticed, and this is just a small little aside, is that even with the whole getting smaller and whatnot, I say that getting to transistors the size of an atom is like the end of the road with current physics, but it doesn't mean that we're going to be, you know, we could be there for 100 years or more, which is, you know, I hope not, because if you think about it, there's also kind of a law of diminishing returns. We want smaller and thinner phones, but at the end of the day, the limiting factor is our fingers or, you know, whatever implement we use. So there's only so small. And even if we can get, say, our phones to the size of an atom, why would we want a phone the size of an atom, you know? So there's going to be a point where we can be like, okay, this is as small as we're willing to go, but now because we've been able to get our transistors and all these other parts so much smaller, we can fit more. And so you might start seeing, you know, things like phones, computers, whatever, getting infinitely more powerful, infinitely faster and whatnot. And so, yeah, we may still be stuck here for a while. It's just, so essentially we're in the last chapter, but this could still be the longest chapter.
Yeah. I get what you're saying. However, I don't have a good segue into the next topic, so it's going to sound like I don't give a shit. Sorry about that in advance. Damn it, because the next topic is really stupid. And we go from something really cool and really futuristic into something like, oh, Apple's announcing OS X Mountain Lion, which no one here cares about.
You know that nobody's seeing that in the audience, right? You could just choose to not read it.
Yeah, okay, the next two topics on the actual topic list, none of them are as big and important as something like what Agrippa was just saying. And he gave us an excellent rundown of what the hell's going on and or what should go on, and
that's why Steven would read the list before showtime.
I did read it, and there's
like that until the end.
Yeah, well, you guys put together a shitty list. Hey, you want to run the show next time, Vito?
You want me to?
Do you want to? Are you, because if you can put up with the criticism, I mean, I don't care. I think you guys are all idiots. So. Are we done?
Silence.
Yeah. Okay, so apparently Apple is releasing a new version of OS X, which is to be expected. They're calling it Mountain Lion because they can't think of any giant pussy to name it other than that.
Cougar would be too easy.
Yeah. Well, imagine what the logo for that would be. Cougar and... Damn it, I can't think
It'd
of her name.
It'd be an old lady in a negligee.
Kate Beckinsale. Oh, God. Yeah, it'd be the name, and then something that's equally as attractive as an Apple OS. Anyway, anyone even looked at this? I know Ben probably has a boner for it.
Yeah, Ben, show us your boner.
Actually, Ben and I were talking about it earlier, and
so you're rubbing boners together. Let's hear about it.
Yeah, let's get the dick batons out.
Yep. And you think you could host a podcast, and you have the thinnest skin of everyone, Vito. You got something to say? Let's go.
Oh, that hurt his feeling.
Is Ben even here?
Ben? Yeah, anyway.
We should just boot Ben out.
Whatever. Apple.
This is your chance to talk about your favorite OS, and you are just shitting on all of us.
Well, if nobody cares, then let's just move.
Look, I know people have been calling the latest, you know, flavor of what's the latest one? Was it Snow Leopard, Lion,
Lion.
Whatever the fuck. The latest thing they've been calling it, you know, Apple's Vista, which I don't get the indication it's as big a disaster as Vista was, but.
You say Vista like a Mexican.
How excited should I be for Mountain Lion? You know, if you know, the last one was, you know, like Microsoft's Vista, and, you know, compared to how good Windows 7 turned out to be, you know, like...
Can we say it Vista?
Vista.
Like I said, you say Vista like a Mexican would. Like Ben does.
I mean, like, should we be excited? Like, is this, anyone who's bothered to actually read the article, you know, how exciting is anything? Like, just glancing over it, I'm not seeing anything, you know, stand out that tells me, oh god, this is gonna be mind-blowing. I just...
Okay.
Well, they're gonna replace iChat with messages.
Yeah, okay, I see iMessage, which is cross-OS for them, which is kind of like how... I know Agrippa knows how this works. In Windows Phone, it the big chat, you know, there's texting and then there's Facebook and Windows Live Chat. Those are what's built in. Well, the Facebook chat works across anything with a browser and also my phone. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, I guess it's the same. It's just Mac can't rely on Facebook. I don't see anything else. Sharing content, it seems that they have done the whole quick share, you know, iPhoto, AirDrop, Twitter, Flickr, whatever, you right click, you can share it quickly. They stole Microsoft's security logo, so see that. It looks just like the Microsoft Security Essentials logo, except without the flag. It's a dungeon no one owns, and that's about it. I see nothing super impressive, but I think they just kind of want to keep it current.
Yeah.
And that means, they're not going to be pushing any major hardware upgrades for this either, like they did last year when they went with the i5 and the Air with the option of the i7.
Yeah, it's a... Yeah. Well, I mean, since I'm not an Apple user, maybe I'm just a little blah about it, but...
This one is basically, it's just an iterative update. It's not really a mind-blowing thing. Just like Snow Leopard was...
So it's like a service pack?
Yeah, almost, I guess.
No, but it's
basically the same that Snow Leopard expanded on Leopard. It brought some new functionalities, but nothing really game-changing. And then Lion was more of a bigger... update.
But I'm gonna say
Mountain Lion is basically the same thing. It's
going from Lion to Mountain Lion is downsizing in terms of like the actual cat.
Yeah, I would have to agree that if we're gonna just get bigger cats,
I mean,
then
why didn't they just call it OS X Tabby? Because this is it doesn't seem that interesting. It's just they're trying to sync a few things across iOS, and other than that,
The Mountain Lion seems to be basically all about the cloud, because pretty much the main features that they've talked about so far have been messages and the iCloud stuff.
Or sharing.
Yeah.
But is that really necessary in a new OS?
No, I mean, it's nice
like it could just be like an update and, you know, no one would talk about it.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I don't know. I'm not a programmer or anything. I don't know if it necessarily needs to be a whole OS-wide update. But it's nice that that kind of functionality is built in.
Well, I can tell you right now that any, like, if you install Dropbox, it adds a right-click menu to Windows. And it doesn't require an entire OS update to understand how that works. And so when you right-click and you want to share a picture to Twitter, you know, that's what they're adding, basically. You get to share your pictures and share these things over different networks. I don't think it's as important as they're making it seem. But they needed a way to release it.
That's the exact same thing that happens when you install Dropbox on a Mac, too.
They need to make it sound important, otherwise people wouldn't shell out the $50 that it's going to cost.
Yeah, well...
30, I think, but...
Same fucking difference.
No, it's not.
The whole point here, though, is that it's built in. And, I mean, I'm not saying if that's necessarily anything worth getting excited about. That's just the fact of the matter. Is now it's built in. You don't have to do anything else extra. You don't have to install anything. It's built right into the OS. Yeah.
Are Apple users that dumb that they can't, like, copy and paste share? Because that's what I do.
that's what you did on BlackBerry, too, and that doesn't make you any smarter. But basically, what I'm seeing from this is that nobody needs this update, and I don't think anyone should go... Personally, seeing what I see now, minus the security thing, which if they're actually adding a proper security bit to this, which I don't actually see. I just noticed that they came up with a logo for it. It basically, there you go. Mountain Lion has a set default of where you install something. It checks to see if the creator is a App Store registered developer or not.
Yeah, as far as I can tell, basically developers can become like certified or whatever.
But that's what happened. That's what happened in Microsoft XP back in, when did XP come out? When, you know, you installed something and said, this isn't by a, you know, sort of, this is, all right. I just lost more respect for Apple. Where did Vita go?
I didn't know you had any.
No. Anyway, I don't, if you're an Apple owner, unless you plan on, you know, I don't know. I don't know why you would buy this, unless it came with a new system. Which I don't know why you'd buy a new Mac system, so don't ever own this operating system.
Hear, hear!
I think I pissed Vito off. He's gone.
Yeah. Maybe he has a poop again.
Everyone has a bad day.
Yeah, well. I guess we'll just... continue on to VLC 2.0.
Holy hell.
Yeah.
How long did it take them to get to 2.0?
Well, I don't know, but it took them about 10 years to get to 1.0.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is...
I like VLC a lot. I mean, yeah. I haven't used it on Windows in maybe a couple years because I've been using S Player, which just always felt to me like a little snappier and a little lighter weight than VLC, but you know, when I'm on my, you know, Linux machine, yeah, it's VLC all the way. Like, VLC is my close number two, even on Windows.
Yeah, I like VLC just because I don't have to worry about anything. I don't have any crazy formats that don't play on VLC, so I don't really care. And it did get a little fatter once they went to around 1.0. It got a little beefier. It's kind of like, you know, Firefox used to be fast, but then it got chunky.
Yeah, and Chrome's going through that now. Now, yeah, like I said, I was like, S Player is, it's everything VLC does, S Player does. It just seems to do it, it just seems to have a lighter footprint. But yeah, when I'm on a Ubuntu, I'm VLC all the way. And I love, it looks so much prettier now. Like, it actually looks pretty attractive.
I haven't
downloaded
it yet.
That's a word I would never have used for VLC.
What's so special about it, though? Because I saw a lot of people talking about a 2.0 release, and as far as I can tell, it's just a version update. So why should anyone care that much?
There are, well,
like, new features-wise, like, what have they added?
Because they put out a list of the changes that came to it. You know, some of it is, you know, experimental Blu-ray playing, and you know, they've added more formats they cover, and changed its footprint. It's a lot of it is behind, you know, it's what's the word I'm looking for? It's, you know, under the hood, essentially. So, yeah, on that score, you know, if you're just a general user who, you know, yeah, you wouldn't care. But, yeah, there are a lot of changes have come up, you know, underneath. I mean, and then, of course, with the regular stuff, too, you know, the bug fixes and all that. But, you know, they've also added I got distracted for a second there. Faster decoding for multi-core systems, which is something like VLC was never really very good with, you know, multi-core systems was never very good with the GPU and whatnot. It never fully mined the capabilities of the system you were on. But it was always good enough that you never cared. Now they seem to be actively trying to you know, use everything from hardware acceleration to just, you know, friggin' mining everything. And then the updates also improve their performance on mobile. So this is like across the board. It's not like, you know, this new update makes it better on, you know, the desktop version better, but you gotta wait for the mobile. Now this is across the board. They just hit, you know, a new kind of milestone implement. Like I said, the last thing, you know, that's it's not that important. It's not important at all, but it's just prettier. It's just more attractive now. Can't tell yet if this is like across the board or if this is just for Macs, because the images I'm seeing of this slightly better looking VLC are all, they're all definitely Mac screenshots. So I have no idea if Mac's the only one that's getting the pretty look. But yeah, that was one thing that always kind of bugged me. Once I had S Player, which, you know, worked just as well as VLC, the thing that you know, VLC's kind of utilitarian ugliness kind of started bothering me. But
that never bothered me about VLC, because the reason I liked VLC is because it did everything I needed it to do, and, you know, it wasn't bloated like a lot of, you know, other media players are. And I didn't really care what it looked like, because most of the time when I was watching a video, it was in full screen anyways, so it's not like I was looking at the interface. Mm-hmm. But I'm installing it now. We'll see how it goes.
Mine was refusing to update earlier. I was trying to get it to force the update, but that wasn't happening.
Well, I did it. I had a check for an update, and it was like, your version 1.112 is the most up-to-date version. I'm like, no, it's not. So I have to download it separately.
Yeah, that was another problem I always had with VLC, updating it. Like, periodically, every few versions, I would have a hard time just updating it. It would always say it's the most up-to-date. But there is one thing VLC doesn't have that S Player does that I wish it did, and it would be perfect. And that was, I find S Player doesn't work on Linux, so I can't use it on Linux anyway. It's just Windows, and I think Mac. But it's much better at going online and finding a repository of subtitles for, you know, movies I've downloaded or movies I've watched.
That seems like a database link to me.
The capacity of the movie you're watching, the better the quality of subtitles are. But there have been times when I've downloaded a movie and started playing it, it doesn't have any subtitles hard-coded or whatever. And it's not perfect, obviously. Like, a lot of stuff you just won't find, because it's a kind of a crapshoot. But it's just sometimes when it's just magically pulling subtitles from the ether somewhere. And that was something that I just thought, man, if VLC just had that, that would be, even if it was as faulty and buggy as S Player, that would be perfect.
Well, I can't get mine to check for an upgrade. It keeps giving me errors, so I'll probably just uninstall and reinstall.
Yeah, mine's doing the same thing.
Yeah, I think we should do a review on it. I've always liked VLC. It's always been, before it got kind of bloated, I mean, it's still smaller than Windows Media Player.
Everything's better than Windows Media Player.
Yeah, I mean, Windows Media Player kind of got it. They were good for a while when they were the only thing that played everything. And now they, you know, they're all right, but anyone who uses it just is one of those people who just accept Windows as is.
Windows Media Player has gotten better. I had to use it. I kind of had no choice. I don't remember why. I was trying to stream something over network, and you know, I just needed something that I knew would work, just as a proof concept.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, this is not the Windows Media Player I remember, because I don't think I've even looked at Windows Media Player since maybe 2003. I mean, obviously I've seen it since then, but you know what I mean? Like, I haven't like actively used it since then. And this was just like, okay, they seem to have made some improvements, but what's a non-starter for me is that it still doesn't play MKV. And I'm sorry, you can consider MKV fringe all you want, but at this point where it's becoming so ubiquitous,
nobody considers it. I mean, I've seen cameras that have that recording option. So
exactly. You know, it's at this point you can keep, just because it's the favored high def, you know, version for pirates, doesn't mean it's not legitimate. You know, and at this point,
well, I mean, that's how AVI was 10 years ago.
At this point, I don't mess with some formats is because, you know, sometimes I have to stream stuff to the Xbox or, you know, like
channel on the Roku, that's the only
you know, things like that, and. You know, they don't play nice with.
That's the only thing that Windows Media Player is good for, is seeing what will and won't play on my Xbox.
Yeah.
If I have to convert it first. That way I don't spend 20 minutes looking for the file to figure out, because I still can't get a good sense of where the crap is on my computer.
And then the hassle of converting videos, I hate that it takes a while, and
it's less effort to download it has a different copy.
You can get the settings wrong. You know, I've had times when I've had some massive MKV, you know, Blu-ray quality thing, and I need to convert it to like AVI or XVID or something else that I can play. It's so massive and out there, and it took forever for the conversion to happen. But when I, you know, chose the settings, or if I let it automatically choose optimal settings, it wasn't right, and the converted video is just crappy as hell.
Yeah.
You know, it's you know, it's got artifacts and all that stuff, and so yeah, that to me, those are the moments when I just kind of get fed up. Now what I typically do is I'll just plug my laptop, if I can't find it on Netflix or any of the other services I have, and it's, say, an MKV format, instead of plugging my external to the Xbox, whatever, I just plug my laptop straight to the TV.
Yeah.
You know, with an HDMI cable, because it's just better than putting up with the...
Yeah, with the I do that every once in a while. We got to get moving fairly quick on these topics here. Here's one that I hate. The new Spark tablet. It's a Linux tablet. It's available for pre-order now. It looks like it comes with a couple micro USBs, audio jack, micro SD, a mini HDMI.
My whole
hang on
about tablets is very similar to my opinion of laptops and Xbox and desktops. It's like, you know, yawn. Like, I'm more interested in new specs.
You know,
the new,
can you hear me,
processor that does this. Awesome, a new type of RAM that does this, awesome, but a new device, eh.
Yeah, anyway, you interrupted me, and I don't think you can hear anyone else when you're talking.
Yeah.
I'm sure everyone else heard me yelling over you.
I think maybe I choose not to hear anyone else.
Yeah, but what I was saying was, this specific laptop, $260 for, or it's not laptop, tablet, $260, sounds good. But it has a fairly ridiculous set of specs. It's a 1 gigahertz ARM processor, 512 megabits of RAM, only 4 gigs of onboard storage. It seems like they're reaching to try to get into the market with Linux on a tablet.
Yeah, fuck it.
It comes in the form of wireless 802.11 BNG and US and take it back, 3G with a USB dongle. This seems and I hate to say this. This seems like everything else in Linux. It seems like they will offer the very bottom end of what you can do. And then you kind of have to do upgrades from there on your own dime.
Yeah, blah.
Yeah. It's the only reason I mention it is because it's a Linux tablet. It's a tablet that was designed around Linux and an OS for it. Open source is cool, all that. I finally kicked Ubuntu off my netbook, and I'm using Linux Mint. And good God, it's a day and night thing.
Oh, isn't Mint nice?
Mint, yeah, it's what Ubuntu used to be, you know. And I know, and it's a netbook, and that's the big problem. You know, I'm sure Ubuntu probably runs better on faster machines, but it was ridiculous. But yeah. It seems very, very half-assed. The whole thing is half-assed to me.
Wait, what is half-assed? The tablet or Ubuntu?
The tablet. And I just poured beer all over my keyboard. I will probably let you guys know how waterproof a Logitech wireless keyboard is soon.
Okay. Better break out the rice.
Yeah, this is a Shiner Rise and Shine, as in R-Y-E-S and Shine. Pretty good. Rye Lager. Keyboard doesn't seem like it. It wasn't on the laptop proper.
Well,
anyway.
If you had this tablet, you know, you wouldn't need a keyboard.
Yeah, but then I would need another tablet to make it to look up why it isn't working. Which is another problem I have with Linux. My only computer can't run Linux because then I don't have anything to look up problems on when the internet doesn't work.
So true.
Yeah. Anyway, I do like Linux, and I continuously play with new distros on my netbook. It's just kind of, it sits in the kitchen, it's a recipe looker-upper, because, you know, all my bookmarks are saved across Chrome, so if I need to look up a recipe, I can always use my bookmarks on Chrome. But it sits there and gets dicked with every few weeks I throw something else on there. Anyway, don't forget, if you really want to support some guy trying to make money off open source, Sparks tablet is out there for pre-order. It's absolutely unimpressive. It's less than the Kindle Fire for more money. Let's put it that way. And with that, we move on to WTF news.
These news are really bad.
What? So, is that long enough, Ben? Can I start talking?
Okay. I didn't have anything clever to say.
Yeah, well, music is fun. So, e-cigarettes. Newest thing in safe smoking, which is retarded and a half, say the leaf. I know Ray will say, I know smoke is not safe for me, but I don't care.
Exactly.
Yeah, just like everyone else. So, say you're sitting there smoking an e-cigarette because it's safer for you. And then your last thought, you know, going through your head right as that e-cigarette's battery explodes is, Alanis Morissette's Isn't It Ironic song. That's got to be a horrible feeling. Oh, and then Ray sings it. That's even worse feeling. apparently this company, it's a Huntsville, Alabama-based company, EcoSmoke, which I didn't even realize that at that damn time. Woo! They're the only store specializing in electronic cigarettes in North Alabama, and they have their own brand of e-cigarettes, which are pretty much water infused with nicotine.
Yeah, it's like smoking steam.
It's whatever. They're stupid. They have disposable ones around here too. I don't care enough to try it. I guess that one of them blew up in a guy's face. They're saying it's safe.
Yeah, why did it explode?
It doesn't say. I don't know. Maybe he lit it.
He tried to light it. It's like when you light a cigarette in reverse when you're really drunk and the filter blows up. It's kind of like
that. That last part doesn't happen.
Well, it'll flare up.
Yeah.
It won't blow up, but it'll give you a good shock.
The big difference there, buddy. Anyway, so
when you're drunk, it pretty much explodes.
Yeah, well, just like everything, it, you know, gets dragged out of proportion. I guess that wasn't too ridiculous. Here's one. So, you know, everybody tracks your data these days. When, you know, stores online and offline, they have their ways of going through and figuring out what you're buying and how that corresponds to major events in your life. In this instance, a Target store, or Target, the company, was tracking what this young woman, this teenager, was buying, and figured out she was pregnant because she was buying stuff like non-scented soaps, non-scented lotions. They have a list of things that pretty much register as parents, and if you haven't bought them previously and you start buying a bunch of them, they say, oh, you're going to be a parent soon, so that means you're pregnant. And
that's
so this
weird.
Well, it's logical, because then they can send targeted ads to you. It's just like online, except they're doing it in, you know.
Yeah, I'd say it's still a bit weird.
Well, it's not that weird. You're on the internet, Ray. Nothing's that weird.
That's different.
Okay, that's different. Think different, Apple. That's what Ray says with his new iPhone. Target does assign every customer a guest ID number, which is tied to their credit card name or email address, which is why you don't ever give your email address to a store. You just tell them no. And if they refuse to sell to you, then you walk out. But
Gorilla email.
Yeah. Apparently, a young woman was sent pregnancy ads, or, you know, ads that would be sent to a pregnant mother, and her dad figured it out because she was getting those ads, but didn't know.
Well, what happened is she was getting flyers and coupons and stuff for baby products.
Yeah.
And then her dad was like, what the fuck, why are you sending this to my daughter, blah, blah, blah. And he got all mad. And then, like, a week later, he came back, he's like, yeah, I found out she was pregnant, my bad. But while that's kind of a funny situation, I thought the more interesting thing was the whole customer profiling thing that they got going on, which I don't personally have that much of a problem with, but I can understand if you're real keen on privacy, you might be a little...
Pay with cash.
Good point.
Knows, if you want privacy, you don't use a credit card.
Yeah.
Anyone intelligent.
I don't have a problem with it. I just think it's actually kind of interesting that they have all this data, because they can accurately predict why you're, like, what you're going to buy and why. And...
Well, yeah. I mean, they have stats. They have people who have PhDs in statistics who do nothing but analyze, hey, we had this many fat people buy, you know, this sugar substitute. So anytime someone buys this sugar substitute, let's send them targeted ads for SlimFast. You know, it's the same basic thing, except when you start buying diapers and you know, things that new moms are going to buy, let's send them ads for formula, let's send them ads for diapers.
If she
this
was buying
book.
The stuff, though, shouldn't the dad have figured it out beforehand?
Well, okay, there's a difference between seeing the mail come when the mail has all these ads in it, and, you know, if the dad picks up the mail, that's one thing, but if she buys it, she probably takes it into her room, and her dad doesn't go through her room all the time. Which, if he did, I'm sure he would have found a condom before this point. It would have had a different talk.
Well, obviously he wouldn't have found a condom.
Thank you.
Well, there may have been a condom. It just may have been broken.
Okay.
Anyway. So.
What I thought was a little more interesting, though, is because obviously when you're buying diapers and formula and baby food and crap like that, then obviously, yeah, because you have a baby. But... the fact she was just buying kind of innocuous, almost fairly unrelated things like unscented soap. And
Ben, you're not a parent.
Well, yeah, but I still use
he might
soap.
Still buy unscented soap.
Exactly,
no,
that's my point.
But the thing is, it's a new shift. It's a shift in what you were buying. Obviously, they say they track you based on what you bought in the past. They have these customer IDs that they assign you based on your credit card. Or your debit card number. Or your email, if you're stupid enough to put that in. So when she shifted from buying regular lotions and regular soaps to strictly non-scented, and if you read the whole thing, there's a list they give. Bought two or three things that are also on the list of pregnant mothers purchase these things. That's when they made the connection. They were tracking it before, and when that changed, when the act, you know, when your behavior changed, that's when they assume that, you know, you're pregnant. Most people don't pick up a lotion allergy in their late teens.
I'm gonna go buy a bunch of unscented lotion now. See if they think I'm pregnant.
Well, you know what? I hope you do get pregnant.
I hope so too.
That way you'd have someone to spend time with you.
Yes, because I'm so lonely.
You are. All right, let's move on to a little more WTF and less techie.
Yeah, that was kind of a fringe topic. I wasn't really sure if it should be a WTF story or a regular news story. But
did I put that in there or did someone else?
I put that in there.
Okay, because I actually read that exact same article earlier today.
Probably because it was on Reddit.
Maybe. Anyway, so here we go. Here's our Florida section. I don't know if we have Florida news. It's probably steel drums or something. Florida music. Two St. James City women, one wielding a knife, were arrested in Wednesday evening after a failed attempt to flash fellow bar members, bar patrons, turn extra beer money. Looking at the pictures, I'm not surprised it failed. I'm going to go ahead and post this down in the chat, so anyone paying attention.
I would have bought these women beers to keep their tops on.
Maybe that's what they were doing. Anyway.
They were threatening. Yeah. Buy us a round or we whip these out.
Yeah, and then...
Oh, God, no, please.
Here's my credit card. Deputies say the duo ran out of money, so they bounced around the bar offering... to expose their breasts to other patrons for money so they could buy more beer. We had five guys that were like, please, leave us alone. And then they went up to tables that had wives sitting at them.
Oh, man.
And apparently no one took the women up on their offer.
Well, judging by their mugshots, I can understand why.
But it's Florida. You figure somebody would be down for that.
No, they all got picked up in a Craigslist sting.
No. Apparently, when they got turned down, they got a little mad. Drunk, fat women is kind of scary anyway. So let's get them mad at their body image. And then that ended up in sort of assault. So, moral of the story is, if you're fat and need beer money, just... go all the way.
It's time to stop drinking at that point.
Yeah, or just switch to light beer or something. Yeah, as Vector Parcel said, I wonder why nobody paid them for their services.
When you're at the bar and you've already had a lot to drink and you decide that you need to start whoring yourself out to get more, it's time to go home and call it.
Okay, if you're at the bar and you've had a lot to drink and you decide to flash people and no one else has had enough to drink to think that you're cute.
time to go home.
Yeah, time to go home. Don't start a fight. Don't get mad because no one thinks you're hot. So. Go Florida. And who added this last Gizmodo topic?
I don't know, it wasn't me.
Okay, here, I'm going to read the title. Criminal Must Network. Vito. I don't think Vito goes to Gizmodo. And he's not here. Criminal Network wanted to use $1 billion bills to acquire plutonium.
Okay.
Apparently, these bills were found in a trunk in Switzerland. The trunk was marked with Federal Reserve System, had a total of $6 trillion inside. So, but that $1 trillion was in $1 billion bills, which obviously don't exist.
Sounds legit.
It has a picture of Wilson on it. Who the fuck would put Wilson on a bill?
Wilson with the volleyball from... Castaway?
Yes!
Woodrow, sir. Oh. Woodrow.
My bad. I think it would be more interesting to have the volleyball from Castaway.
A little too obvious and also out of date. Since the series of 1934. So in 1934, they definitely had billion-dollar bills. I think...
Were we trying to be like Zimbabwe before Zimbabwe? Before it was cool.
I actually want to pick up a couple of those notes. Like, what was it? $100 trillion bills?
The Rock Band font?
Yes, that too.
Just wait like 6 months. I'm sure the government will be printing them.
No, I mean, they don't use them anymore. But there's, you know, people just have them laying around. And you can buy them on eBay. Yeah.
And apparently, the U.S. experts were called in to certify that these bonds were fake.
Wow.
They couldn't just be like, we don't really make
now I kind of have mad props for these criminals, because just the balls to try and pull a con like that. I mean, one thing if they pulled a con on something that was real and then created fake bonds. But they created the fake bonds and then created the fake story behind it to try and... I mean, of course no one would have bought that, but the fact that they actually got... that it was almost believable enough that they had to get experts to certify that it was bullshit.
There's a difference between having balls and being a dumbass. I think they were just dumb and thought it was...
So these bonds were apparently tied to the Treaty of Versailles. Treaty of Versailles claimed, it was obliging... that Germany was going to receive, what, according to the article, $442 billion, and that's 2012 money, as, you know, that's what it was. Sorry, I take that back. Germany had to pay that to whoever the hell they pissed off.
And that's the story they went with?
Yeah, and so apparently Germany is going to pay people off. In 1934, Germany is going to pay people in American billion-dollar bonds. And I guess the dumbasses who had this money were trying to buy plutonium with it.
What? They are
smart.
So they
can get real money.
All right, Call of Duty couldn't even make this seem realistic. This is just stupid.
Because that large of a money, you can't say it was desperation. You know, like, I just want to be in the room when these guys were sitting around and thinking, hey, I've got this great idea. You know, it just seems, it seems like one of those things that's so far out there, so ridiculously far out there, that they were like, no one's going to think this is bullshit. No. Because they're going to be like, you know, what the fuck, who thinks up this kind of thing?
I just had one of the saddest things scroll across my Facebook. You know how they have the above the chat, they have the status update thing where it constantly flashes bullcrap on the right side of the screen? I had like three things show up that said this person liked their own status.
Little full of
themselves. Is it someone we know?
No, that's why I'm not naming them.
No.
Anyway, that, sorry, I just thought that was kind of sad. It says... blank blank likes their own status.
Sometimes you gotta prime the tank, man.
that week. Anyway, that's, yeah. There's a point, though, when the number is so outrageous that no one's gonna believe it. No one is gonna believe it. Because a simple Google search for US $1 billion bond will turn up nothing. You know, even on Wikipedia, which is, you know, obviously
the go-to for internet research.
Well, the font of all human knowledge.
This is an accurate assessment.
Anyway. Unless anyone else has an awesome story to put in our WTF news. I think that's it. I think we're done. With the podcast for tonight. Anything?
No.
All right then, we'll wrap it up. And we are running ridiculously late tonight. So have fun editing this, Ben.
I think I'm just going to cut out random sections. Just, you know, 10-minute swaths.
Anything Vito said, because he's not here anymore.
I think I'll cut out everything you said. That'll be interesting.
We'll just be talking about random things.
That actually, I dare you.
See, because I can't cut out everything Ray said because he was talking over everyone else.
No, that was, well, I guess he was. But so was Agrippa.
Last week when you talked about a story.
Anyway, I want to thank you all for listening to the Noisecast. This is episode 63. Don't forget, you can...
Never mind.
Are you done talking? You gonna shut up? Let me finish this?
No.
Anyway, this is episode 63. Don't forget, you can find us online at thenoisecast.com. Listen live every Sunday when we record this bullcrap and I yell at people and they yell at me. It's thenoisecast.com/live. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/noisecast. Twitter, twitter.com/noisecast. And on Google+. Just search for us. I have no idea what our URL actually is. Apparently, Agrippa is out like a trout in a prom dress, even though he's not going to wait for the sign-off. I guess with that, we'll do the sign-offs. Agrippa, since you want to talk.
What? I'm just talking. Do your thing. I'm here.
Well, we're leaving, so say goodbye.
Okay. Au revoir.
He speaks French. We also had Ben with us.
Adios.
And Gonzo.
Auf Wiedersehen!
We had Vito. And I am Chris. I was your host tonight. I hope you come back to join us next week. Don't forget, join us live. It's a lot more fun. This has been episode 63 of The Noisecast.
Tango and cash. And that's also true. This is our song of exalt and joy, because we only came to kick some ass. Rock the fucking house and kick some ass. What we gonna do with all the cash? Smoke hash, and then we thrash. Throw a big old bash, y'all.